This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
A cyber attack forced the shutdown of America's largest fuel pipeline. Plus, why corn is the latest commodity to pop, and the price of your food delivery might come with some extras on the bill.
So there's often a delivery fee, there's a service fee, there's also tax, and those fees can be a bucket, a catch-all for lots of different things.
It's Monday, May 10th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News. The top headlines and business stories moving your world today. A ransomware attack led to the closure of the largest U.S. fuel pipeline this weekend. It followed warnings from current and former government officials that ransomware threatens national security. Colonial Pipeline closed its entire 5,500-mile link carrying gasoline and other fuels from the Gulf Coast to the New York metro area. So far, no evidence has emerged that the attackers penetrated the vital control systems that run the pipeline, according to people familiar with the matter. A spokesman for Royal Dutch Shell, one of the owners of the Colonial Pipeline, said Sunday it is still too early to be specific about potential impacts to product flow. On Sunday, Colonial didn't provide a timeline for bringing the pipeline back into service. Guidelines on COVID-19 restrictions and mask-wearing recommendations could be eased as more Americans get vaccine shots. That was among the messages over the weekend by members of the Biden administration. According to the CDC, about 58% of the U.S. adult population has received at least one vaccine dose. Some public health experts and Republicans have urged the Biden administration to further ease restrictions to incentivize more people to get vaccinated. Melinda Gates was meeting with divorce lawyers since 2019, roughly 2 years before she filed for divorce from her husband Bill Gates. That's according to documents reviewed by WSJ and people familiar with the matter. We report that one source of concern for Ms. Gates was her husband's dealings with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. In 2019, Bill Gates acknowledged meeting with Epstein, but said he had no business relationship or friendship with him. A spokeswoman for Melinda Gates didn't respond to questions about the reasons for seeking a divorce. And the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby has failed a post-race drug test, according to the horse's trainer. Bob Baffert said he didn't know how Medina Spirit could have tested positive and denied any wrongdoing. Medina Spirit could face disqualification if the test is confirmed. According to Kentucky regulations, the horse won't be disqualified until a split sample confirms the result. We still have earnings to report this week, with Marriott and Tyson Foods among the companies on today's calendar. We've been watching some spikes in the commodities markets. Lumber, copper, soybeans, and corn is also on the list. America's biggest cash crop has rarely been more expensive. Let's talk about this with markets editor Quinton Webb joining me from Hong Kong. Hi, Quinton.
Hi there, Mark.
So, Quinton, starting with the basics, how much of a price rise are we seeing and why?
Well, pretty phenomenal price rise, actually. So 50% increase already in 2021. And, you know, a bushel of corn now costs more than twice what it cost just a year ago. First thing is, there's been a huge amount of buying out of China as the Chinese try to rebuild their herds of hogs after African swine fever. The second thing is there's some supply disruptions in South America. The third thing is that as the US economy reopens, we're seeing more motoring demand. And don't forget, of course, that corn is used to make ethanol, which then goes into gasoline. And the fourth is investor interest. So people know that commodity markets are hot at the moment, so more money is being plowed into investing in corn and other commodities. As you said, you know, lumber, copper, crude oil, iron ore too, in fact, all of these other commodities have risen pretty steeply.
And here's the thing about corn, Quentin. This is a commodity that touches our lives in so many different ways.
That's right. It is both a kind of staple foodstuff, and as we just talked about, you know, also there's a kind of energy use for it too. And it's a very popular crop in terms of how many American farmers grow it. So yeah, it's a commodity that is not a sort of abstract financial concept, if you like. It's a very big part of real life.
Thank you, Quentin Webb. Just ahead, a closer look at the fees with your food delivery. We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
If you're like a lot of people, this past weekend you might have ordered in a meal from a food delivery service. The sector has been growing during the pandemic, but for you as a consumer, it can also bring some sticker shock. You're not just paying for the food, there are plenty of fees that come along with it. So as the food delivery industry grows and transforms and meets with some resistance, what does that mean for your wallet? Let's bring in my WSJ colleague, Heather Haddon. She covers the restaurant industry. Heather, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
So Heather, you've been a detective of sorts, really breaking down the cost structure of food delivery services. We're not just paying for a pizza or a cheeseburger and fries. There are some added costs and some new costs. What did you discover?
Yeah, it's definitely not just the food costs. So when you order delivery from Uber, Grubhub, Postmates, DoorDash, the main apps that have really proliferated during the pandemic, there is a lot of fees associated with these delivery orders. So there's often a delivery fee, there's a service fee, there's also tax. And those fees can be a bucket, a catch-all for lots of different things. So the apps, they have to pay for the driver. They have to pay for things like credit card processing for errors that might occur with a fee for any kind of with the order. But then during the pandemic, they've also faced additional fees, including a lot of cities and states have imposed commission caps on these services because they say they charge too much of these restaurants. And during the pandemic, it wasn't fair for these restaurants. So they've capped how much they can actually charge a restaurant. So they're pushing more of that cost in some cases on to the customer.
Just how big a deal are these commission caps? What difference do they make to customers and to the delivery companies?
Yeah. So during the pandemic, big cities like New York and even some states have capped these commissions that the apps can charge the restaurants to handle their food and take it to customers. And those caps have been, you know, generally around 15-20%. Now, usually these apps would charge an independent restaurant 30%. That was kind of the going rate. And so there's a disconnect there. Obviously, the app, you know, argues that they need more money to make any money on these orders. So they need to offset that somehow. So either it's pushing it on to the customers through these fees, or it's, you know, absorbing that in some other ways. But that's been a hit to their bottom line. And a lot of these commission caps are still going.
So those are state and local regulations, but food delivery companies also face regulation on the federal level. The Biden administration said last week it would block a Trump-era rule that would have made it easier for Uber and others to continue classifying gig workers as independent contractors. This has been an ongoing issue. Could this impact the delivery companies and ultimately our food bill?
Yeah, it's not good for these companies. So the most expensive part of the cost for these apps already, even using gig workers, is the driver. So you're having to pay an actual person, often to transport an individual order to your home, and that is expensive. So already there's costs associated with this, but you know, part of the way they've made the math work somewhat is to have these as gig workers where they're not having to pay, you know, all the things that come from an actual employee. So this could be very bad for these apps if it actually happens. I'm sure they'll fight it. But I would imagine if that does come to pass, if these workers have to be actual employees, there'll be more costs that are shared with the restaurant and with consumers.
And in all these regulatory issues, there's a lot of money at stake. In the case of Uber, the company made more in the first quarter on food delivery than ride hailing.
Yeah, I mean, this is big business for these companies. For DoorDash and Grubhub, it is their business. This is what they do. For Uber, it has become an increasing important part of their business in the U.S. during the pandemic when people have not been doing rideshare so much and people want food brought to their homes. So this is, you know, they have to make the math on this work eventually to be profitable.
All right. The Wall Street Journal's Heather Haddon. Appreciate you coming on the show. Have a good week.
Thanks so much.
And finally, last week on the podcast, we brought you up to speed on cryptocurrencies. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has tweeted about it. As he made his hosting debut on Saturday Night Live this weekend, investors were also tuning in. Here's the Journal's Rebecca Elliott.
One of the things that people in particular were watching leading up to this show was whether his comments would be market moving. And he has repeatedly in the last few months made comments on Twitter about the cryptocurrency Dogecoin, and the price of that cryptocurrency really surged in the weeks leading up to Musk's appearance. And so people were watching to see whether the price of Dogecoin would cross $1 for the first time during the episode. It did not, and actually fell.
You can hear more on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. And that's what's news for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Glad you could start the week with us. And thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.